Well, good evening. Welcome to Crossroads Baptist Church. Our first song tonight is number 15. I love you, Lord, number 15. We'll sing both verses, and y'all can stay seated for this first song, all right?
I thank you, Lord, for all you've done. I don't deserve your love. When I was lost, you saw my need and left your home.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for the folks who are here. We pray for those who are not. And we also thank you, Lord, for the Master Club and the work that's going on there with the children. Just pray that your hand would be on the service as we hear your word preached, as we sing praises to you, as we pray with one another, and pray for the children as well. We thank you for being able to be here today. We thank you for this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, do you have a prayer sheet? Do you need a prayer sheet? Raise your hand if you need one, want one, must have one. Raise your hand. All right. Thank you, Josh. Just want to highlight a couple of things. Of course, we want to continue to pray for Mrs. Capel. Just kind of in dealing with some things, some issues, some low blood pressure, some weakness. You know, I don't know if Jonathan, if you have any more recently.
She was supposed to come home today, let her blood pressure drop dramatically, and so they changed her medication, and it seemed to have worked very well. Okay. So they want to keep her overnight because it would burn better than it would do with that. So theoretically, she's coming home tomorrow. Right. So continue to pray that it will all be possible.
You know, it's when you hear something from someone who is just conveying information, that's one thing. Information is information. But when you hear it coming from somebody that knows what they're talking about, there's something about that. I'm not talking about you, Jonathan. I was actually thinking about Elizabeth Pirro, because she was talking about your mom, and she was saying, well, you know, she had some pretty major surgery on her heart. And so there are going to be some ups and downs. And it's nice to hear when somebody's having a little bit of trouble. I mean, I don't know if it's nice to hear, but that some of this is a little bit expected. It's a little to be expected, as I guess is the saying. And so we continue to pray for Miss Pat, encouragement for the family, encouragement for Brother Ron. And don't need to remind you of that, but I will anyway, to continue to pray for them. Also, again, the Ledbetters as they travel. Go ahead. Right.
So it's very hard on him.
Yeah.
To watch the one that he loves.
Yeah.
Slipping away. So pray for him today too.
All right. Yes. Continue to pray for both the Caples. All right. Please continue to pray for the pastoral search. One of the gentlemen that we were going to be sending the larger questionnaire to is out of communication this week. And so we'll be talking to him next week. And the other one we sent the questionnaire to. and just be waiting to hear back from him, you know, however long it takes. It's pretty detailed. I almost kind of hate sending it to people that's so long, you know, but you know, that's what you got to do. And so just be praying for that, as well as some other men that we're contacting this week, sort of new leads, I guess, if you will. So continue to be praying for that. The Boyces traveling back tomorrow, get back tomorrow from Spain, a trip to Spain. Pray for them. Also, there's a note here, and I'm just highlighting it, to pray for the homecoming Sunday. And that was the 20th, October 20th, homecoming Sunday. Remember praying for and about who to invite, inviting folks, and of course, the salvation of the lost, you know, during that particular service. So just wanted to point that out. Before we, well, let's go ahead and do that. Does anybody else have any more prayer requests? I've got some things I was going to read to you, but prayer requests. Yes, ma'am. Please pray for the Ray family, who's this co-worker. Her father had a heart attack, thought he was doing better, and then he's died. And just pray for that family. Apparently, he was a pastor. She's not sure exactly, you know, the situation there, but just pray for the Lord to work in that family. At any rate, and perhaps even Hannah to be able to be an encouragement to them in some way during that time. Anybody else? No. All right. Just want to one reminder, in case you know anyone who is a teen that may be interested in going. But the Teen Rekindle Conference at Ambassador is November 9th. That's Saturday, and so just highlighting that. And anyone that you can just steer them our way, steer them to me, somebody, a teen. That's not in the normal circle. If you think they may want to go or you want to work on them, and just let us know, and we would love to see to it that they would be able to get there. Also, if you would, if you open your prayer sheet to the missionaries, just wanted to highlight them. And I'm going to start with the Hartman family, and they're sort of in the middle there. Craig Hartman family and Shalom Ministries. And it says, pray for wisdom as they're in the planning stages for their international university. And also remember the medical mission team ramping up efforts to make plans for it. Pray for the family of K.E., I'm assuming that those are initials, in Israel. She passed away earlier this year. So pray for them, probably a family that they've been ministering to. Just be mindful of them and their ministry. Also, the Ben Hamilton family, they have praise. Two girls were baptized in May, and there's a good spirit and fellowship among our church people. Praise the Lord for that. Pray for Harry and his cancer diagnosis and his wife Natalie as she walks the road with him. Pray for Rogelio's diverticulitis and Manny's workload. Pray for three members with unsaved wives. And so these are concerns of the Hamilton family in New York City and their ministry there, and they are requesting that we pray along with them for these needs. And then the Matthew Smith family, we know them. I'm going to close my prayer list here because I have a little bit more to read on that, that I was just going to share with you about what's going on there. And I know this isn't Hold the Ropes night, so maybe this is Hold the Rope night. Just one rope. But it says here, about 2 years ago, we had asked folks to pray about our desire to one day see a Christian camp begin here in Columbia. We had no idea that God has been working behind the scenes all along to bring this prayer request to reality. A couple months before we moved to Columbia, Ramiro and his wife visited Pastor Saron's church in Pasto, and he was saved. Ramiro has been loaning us their farm outside of Nariño to begin Faith Baptist Church. As a note, our Department of Columbia has the largest acreage of cocaine growing than anywhere else in Columbia. We have a little over an hour from, we are a little over an hour from coca fields. Ramiro was born and raised in a large cocaine producing town and has had several cousins who became involved in the trade, all of which have been murdered as a result. When Ramiro was a young man, he decided to try his hand in the trade and even planted a crop. By God's mercy and grace, his crop failed and he did not succeed. He then went to his mother asking for money to get started in the trafficking side. His mother refused. He then moved to Ecuador to try his hand in the oil business. Fast forward to today, he and his wife are now saved and have become a vital part of our new church plant in Nariño, giving their farm for us to use while we save to purchase the building in town. About a month and a half ago, Ramiro and his wife called me out to the farm to talk and seek counsel. When I arrived, they shared their burden to see a Christian camp started on their farm. What has seemed impossible, God is making possible by not only providing the land needed, but also the personnel, in that Ramiro will be the director and keep the camp running. The churches of Nariño and Pasto have gotten involved in the last few weeks, and we have begun construction for the auditorium. Lord willing, October 14th will be the first event with a ladies' retreat. Amanda, did you guys know that was going on? Yeah, me either. Amanda will be one of the speakers, and Lord willing, ladies from the churches in San Juan, Pasto, Ipiales, and Nariño, that was pretty good, will get together for the day. And then there's one more. So praise the Lord for that. And the Lord just working and doing in the midst of everything else going on. Glory to God. And then under a category, just two more things I was going to read with the Smiths. It says kidnapping and safety. We would like to ask folks to continue to pray for safety for our family and church family. Last month, we learned from our church people that there have been several kidnappings in San Juan. Children had been the target, and we saw our attendance drop for a few weeks as parents kept their children inside. It has raised our awareness again to the risks around us. Every year, kidnappings go up, especially in the month of October. Satanism is big in our area, and Halloween is a dark time. So please pray for them in this matter of safety. And then the church land update, last one. We continue to pray to be able to purchase and build a church building on the lot in Nariño. Thank you to those of you who have given so sacrificially to this project. God is working, and we need $28,000 more to be able to buy the land and build. Please pray especially that the owner will not sell or divide the land into lots so that we can see this become a reality. And that's how we've been praying, that the guy would keep that in one piece till they got the funds. Now, I'm not exactly sure with this $28,000. I'm not sure if he's been informed yet of our part. And so that may be actually $18,000 now. So praise the Lord for that. But a lot going on and a lot to pray for in Columbia and for the Smiths representatives there in Columbia. So just wanted to read that to you. And before I sit down, has anybody else had anything prayer request wise that has come to your mind that you wanted to mention that we can add to the list? Anyone? Okay. Thank you, Josh.
214, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Once you found that, would you stand? I'll be on the screen as well. 214, sing all the verses. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Now that last, all the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit floats immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless days. Great singing. Let's get around and greet our church family, our guests as well.
Just a reminder, a few announcements. And I also forgot to mention, of course, during the prayer request time with the missionaries, pray for the Comforts. They're going to be on the road for the next month. And so pray for them and their ministry and Dr. Comfort and his strength, and just for souls to be saved, for believers to be helped. Just pray for the Comforts and their ministry there. Just want to remind you, the 14th, that's this Saturday, they're planning on doing, the ladies are planning on that trip to DuPont Forest. And I think you just need to be in touch with Stephanie or Laura Dietrich. Just be in touch with them, because with this hurricane coming through and they're talking about it's coming up this way. I mean, yeah, I guess if you go, you might get rained on. I suppose worse things can happen. But they're just, you know, if it's too bad, they might do something else. Probably involves a coffee shop. I don't know. But anyhow, they'll do something. But that's September 14th, this Saturday. Also, September 29th in the evening service, we'll be celebrating the Lord's table. October 20th is our homecoming service, and be planning on attending that, and also to be inviting folks for that, please. October 26th, the College and Career Fellowship at the Boyces at 1 p.m. So I'll remind you of that as well. Josh.
Our last song is 236, He Cares For You, 236. Died for you. He lived. Now that last verse, He'll come for you. He'll come for you. He'll come for you. He'll do. He'll come for you. He'll do what no one else can do. When Jesus comes for you. Thank you all so much for your singing.
Appreciate Brother Josh, don't you? Amen. And our piano players. We've got so many piano pickers in this church. We're blessed. We're blessed. You say, well, it don't look like it's that hard to do. Sometimes try doing what Josh does. Sometimes try doing what Bernie does. And I'll promise you it's a whole lot different up there than what it is back there. I'll promise you that. Grab your Bible and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. What I'm trying to say is we appreciate the folks that God's put in this church to serve. They're a blessing. I want to talk to you tonight on five principles for a healthy mind. We might say a sound mind, like 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The word sound mind is one in the original, and it just simply means a controlled mind. We as Christians are not to be emotionally controlled. We're to be spiritually controlled. And as the Spirit controls our emotions, and then the emotions can control our mind and our body. So the Holy Spirit is not just the one that comes to indwell and be with us. He came to take over, and He's to be the boss. We're going to talk tonight about just some biblical principles found here in the fourth chapter of Philippians that will help me and you when our mind becomes troubled. It doesn't take much to trouble my mind. And I think it's probably the same with you too, especially the day and age in which we live and what we're seeing occur. It doesn't take much for me to get my mind off of heaven and get it on the earth. You might not use all five of these principles at once, but I think you'll be amazed to understand that I do use that principle and this principle, and I use that principle, maybe a couple of them at the same time simultaneously. But these are just basic truths that will help us all. Five principles for a healthy mind. Look with me to Philippians 4:13. It's some of your all's probably life verse. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let me ask you a question. Where is the position of Christ in that statement? He is within. The Christ that lives within you and me through the presence of the Holy Spirit is the great enabler. And that's what Paul is saying. I have realized that I have He, and when I have He, I have all. And so it controls his mind. It controls his perspective. It controls his attitude. So when you and I begin to fret and worry, get angry and agitated, we need to stop. We need to take a deep spiritual breath. And we just need to say, Spirit of the living God, help me. So we're going to look at that tonight. Let's bow in prayer and then we'll get into the text. Father, as we bow our heads tonight, there is no doubt in my mind but what all of us have probably had some challenging times this week with the mind, keeping it in the right path, keeping it within bounds, keeping it pure, keeping it holy and upon Thee. God, it's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle that we have. I'm thankful that You are with us. You're not only with us, You are in us. God, through Thee, O Lord, we can do all things. Even control, Lord, a troublesome mind. So for the person who is a worrier, a person who is a depressed individual, or those that tend to lean toward things that will pull them away from the anchor of Thee, I really pray tonight, Lord, that You would speak to them through Your word. Spirit of God, have Your way. I need You tonight. Give me a clear mind. I need You. So I ask Your help on both the preacher and the listener. Have Thy way. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. What a mindset we find here in verse 13, right? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the mindset to have as a Christian. The mind is what we're going to focus on tonight. And the mind is that constant, ongoing voice within you that controls everything without you. It's going to control how you respond to the stimuli that's around you, the situations and the conditions. You are not some kind of a slave to the situation or the condition that you're living in. We have the power within us to respond correctly through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Solomon said this, As a man thinketh in his heart, finish it, so is he. Now, why did he say that? I'm going to say something that is very searching. But you are what your thought life is. Someone said you are what you are when nobody else is watching. That's true. But it goes even deeper than that. Whatever it is that's going on in my mind that I'm entertaining, that I go to frequently, that's truly who I am. And that's the part of me that only God sees. You may see some of the evidence of it. My spouse will see the evidence of it, that there's something going on. But only God knows perfectly. The mind, then, is the gateway to the heart. When the Bible uses the term heart, it's talking about the inner man or the inner woman. It's talking about the seat or the control station of all your passions. It's what drives you. It's what motivates you. It's what makes you get up and live for in the morning. That's your heart. But the gateway to the heart is the mind. And the gateway to the mind is your ears and your eyes. And that's why we need to guard those things with the utmost care. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And be careful, little ears, what you hear. Not only because the Father up above is looking down in love, but for your own well-being, for a healthy mind. Be careful what you allow in the eye gate and the ear gate. And so the Bible contains God's blueprint for the mind. The mind is probably the human brain, no doubt, but the mind included is probably the most complex thing in creation. It's an amazing thing, and it's very much reflective of God Himself. And so the mind, as God created it, we find snippets within the Word of God, and the Bible reveals how it's to be controlled and how it is also to be implemented or used. Now, we need to be very careful to adhere to God's counsel here. If I don't pay attention to what God tells me about my mind and how to use it, how to guard it, what to avoid, then I am in danger of becoming a slave to my thoughts. Whatever you think, if you don't get it out of your mind, sooner or later your body is going to follow in suit. And so you can become a slave. That can be a good thing. That can be a bad thing. But when it's geared and slated towards something bad, it can be detrimental. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it states that every thought is to be brought into the obedience of Christ. Whenever it comes into my brain, there needs to be a filter. The Spirit of God being the referee, saying whether it is something that needs to immediately be extracted or something that needs to be retained. But that happens countless times throughout the day. Numerous times it happens throughout the day. That very thing of the Spirit of God within you saying, stay away from that or go ahead and be part of that. And it's Jesus Christ that enables you and I to control our thoughts. We have a helper. We have that intercessor. We have the advocate within us. And so we're not to be controlled by bad thoughts, are we? We don't have to be, put it that way. In Psalm 139, it's such a tremendous psalm. It's the one where the psalmist says, where shall I go to flee from thy presence? He said, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my grave in hell or in Sheol, you're there. You're in the high place, the low place, you're in the seas. There's no place that you are not. And there's where we have one of the places in the Bible that teaches the omniscience, all-knowing aspect of God, and the omnipresence, all-presence of God. And so what I'm trying to say is this. The psalmist knew that God alone knows our every thought. That shouldn't scare you, by the way. That ought to give us a reverence. But it should not scare the child of God. It ought to bring great comfort to you. I'm glad that I have a Heavenly Father that is there, referee in my mind. He's taken care of me. And so that's the angle that the psalmist went in Psalm 139. At the close of the psalm, now listen to me. Throughout the entire psalm, he's given great magnification to the Lord. Lord, you're so great. There's nothing that can escape your all-seeing eye. There's nothing that you don't know. And he closes that psalm out by saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, what is he doing there? He understood that only God can truly search my mind. You think you can, but we don't even know ourselves well enough to do that. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and who can know it? The next verse says, God searcheth the reins of the heart. It's God. And so the psalmist is saying, Lord, you know all. I need you to search me and try me. And we need to just invite the Lord to do the same thing. I mean, when was the last time, child of God, that you said, Lord, I just want you to come in and I want you to take an inventory of me. I want you to search me and show me those things, whether they be intentional or unintentional, that's unpleasing. Show me, Lord. That needs to be regularly prayed in a believer's life to keep that close communion unto the Lord. And so as we invite him, he shows us what's wrong. He's always faithful to do that. And then as we repent of it, he renews our mind. Now we're getting to the crux of what the psalmist was saying. He said, Lord, if you'll come in and search my mind and put your finger gently on the things that is hurting me, holding me back and disgracing thee, then you're going to lead me into the way everlasting after I repent by renewing my mind. I'm going to be able to think right. I'm going to be able to function right. And why do we need our minds renewed? The psalmist told us there that we may know the way everlasting, the way of life. And I'm not talking about just salvation. I'm talking about knowing God in this life and walking with him and his power and his presence and in his blessing. Living this life in a more abundant fashion. How do you do that? How can I do that? Only as we know God with a renewed mind and walk with him as such. Romans 12:2. Maybe this will make a little bit more sense now. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove or test out what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Or the psalmist said, 139, the way everlasting, to walk with the Lord. Where does it all happen? It's the battlefield of your mind. That's where the battlefield lies. And so with that being said, today's Christianity is making a grave error. When I say today's Christianity, I don't mean that in a good way. I'm talking about liberal neo-Christianity, new Christianity today. The emphasis that's being put on the scene in many of the churches in America today is to look to the world instead of conforming to Christ. Look to the world and conform to the world instead of looking and conforming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, that is a mental suicide. I'll tell you why it's a mental suicide for the Christian to do that and also for the church to do that. Because the Bible says the world is our enemy. The world, your enemy. And so for me to set my mind on the things that the world's mind is set on is contrary to the teaching of Scripture. That's why I need it renewed. I need a restart. I need a whole restart. Every day in my life, just to have the mind of Christ functioning as it should. The key truth in having a healthy mind then is for it to be continually renewed every day. Now let's look at some principles that led up to Paul's victorious mindset. I want to work backwards. We read in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's a pretty powerful, poignant statement. That's a statement that is declaring a truth. Great mindset. How did he get to that place? Well, let's work backwards in chapter 4. Principle number one, learn to rejoice in the presence of the Lord. I mean, when your mind is troubled, my mind is troubled, worried, full of anxiety and care, just learn to realize the presence of the one in whom you are. He is there. Learn to rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Look back at verse 4 and 5. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, you understand this is a prison epistle. And Paul was not in prison all by himself, was he? The Lord was there. I can only imagine the sweet fellowship and communion that the Apostle Paul had with the Lord Jesus in that Mamertine prison. And here's the greater principle that he's teaching here. Rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Rejoice in the indwelling and the infilling of God within you. That's what he's trying to get us to see. And look at down here at the end of verse 5. When Paul said the Lord is at hand, he's not talking about the rapture of the church. Let me say it this way. This flyer, if you'll look up here for Rekindled, I would say that that flyer is at hand, meaning it's near. It's right by me. I can grab it. Paul is saying, I'm not in this prison alone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is right here with me. He's at my right hand. That's what he's saying in that context. And now you can understand why he said so forcefully and jubilantly, rejoice in the Lord, because he's right there with you. Learn, no matter where you are, what you're facing, Jesus is there facing it with you. Jesus didn't come to get you out of trouble. Jesus came to get into trouble with you. And he'll take you through that trouble on the other end with him. Now, that's the only way that this saying that Paul is mentioning here makes sense. When he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. How in the world can you rejoice in some awful circumstances? Well, the only way that it makes sense is we rejoice in the one who is there with us in the midst of it. The Christian can rejoice always because Jesus Christ said, I am with you always. And so here's what Paul's mindset was. Yes, they've locked me up in prison, but they can't lock Jesus out. You say, that is too simple. See, that's your problem. It's your thought. You say, that's too simple a thought to get me out of my problem. That's your problem. That's your thought. There is a simplicity in Christ that surpasses all. When Christ is all you have, you'll find he's more than all you need. The simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you go through life and the hardships of life and you cling firmly to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to discover that Jesus Christ is not only sufficient, he is all sufficient. I don't like saying he's sufficient for my needs, meaning that he'll just meet my bar. He is overabundantly sufficient and always gives over anything that I ask or think. If you seek a healthy mindset, to have a mind like the mind of Christ, as the Bible says, learn to find joy in Jesus Christ and not the circumstance. Learn that he is there. The circumstances are always going to be changing, but Jesus never will. He will always be there for you, and you can never be shut away from him. That's the lesson of the Mamertine prison. So number one, learn to rejoice in the presence of the Lord. He's with me. Number two, learn to rely on the power of God. If he's there with me, he's just not there with me in theory only. He is there in power. He's there in power. Acts 1:8. And when he comes, you shall receive power. That's just not to evangelize. That's to live the Christian life. Power. Look at verse 6. Paul said, be careful for nothing. We would say it this way maybe today. Be full of care for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean? It means this. If you have a problem, tell God about it. Don't go around with that thing locked up in your heart and in your mind, weighing down like a 10-pound weight in your sack. You tell God about that. You run to him. And you run to him as if a little child would run to their earthly father and tell them about a need that they need him to meet. Run to him. One of the most damaging emotions that the Christian can harbor is this thing called worry. I don't know how many of you out there are worry warts. I think it's probably within all of our DNA to a degree or other. But the word worry has the idea of a dividing. It means to be pulled apart. And that makes a lot of sense when it's in the setting of a Christian's mind. On one hand, the Christian has hope. We have the Bible and the promises that Jesus Christ said. We have hope. But on the other hand, we're leaning on the arm of flesh and we worry. And so what happens? We get pulled. When we're in church, the preacher delivers something that's very fitting for the time. We talk to a Christian. We read the devotion. It meets the need. It soothes the soul. But then the mind starts working. And we're pulled back over here to this direction of worry and full of anxiety. And so the very word worry just means what it does to us. It divides. It pulls apart. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, he strongly warned us not to worry. He just simply had this phrase, take no thought. It was mentioned four times in the passage of Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Take no thought. You know what he'd tell us in today's modern language? Don't worry. Don't worry. Someone said worry is like a rocking chair, right? It gives you something to do, you get nowhere doing it. That's what worry does. Someone wrote this, I like this. For every evil under the sun, either there's a cure or there is none. If there be none, never mind it. If there be one, seek it till you find it. In other words, if there's something that you can do about it, put your hand to it and do it. If not, put it in the hand of God. Just put it in the hand of the Lord. I want you to understand when we read verse 6 and say, well, be careful for nothing. That's not a flippant statement. Paul's not saying, well, don't worry, be happy. It's just like a light switch. You just flip it. It's your choice. That's not what he's saying there at all. It doesn't work that way. That's why he says you need to tell God about it. He says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But then he says, but in everything by prayer. So if it's greater than me or it's an uncertainty to me, I take it to the one who it's not greater than and who is certain about it. And I just leave it there. You say, what do you do if you pick it back up? I got to make another trip to the Father's throne and I got to drop it down there again. However many times it takes for me to get that out of my mind and out of my system and giving it wholly over to the Lord, it's worth the trips. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. We could say it this way, worry about nothing, but pray about everything. Just put it in the hands of the Father. Why? Because God's there with you. Rejoice in the presence of the Lord, but then rely on the power of God. And I'll tell you, that's something that I don't know that we ever master in this life, but it's something we ought to grow in. As seasoned Christians, it's been through the storm and through the deep waters of life, there comes a place in our life to where we reach a maturity that when we face something that is, that's deep water, that's hot fire, there's a part of us that is calm about it. It says, how is God going to work this one out? And there's a maturity, there's a rest that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we do in that situation? We realize that prayer is the magnet for God's power, presence, and protection. You've got to intercede with Him for Him to intercede for you. So we're talking about having a controlled mind, healthy mind, spiritual sound mind. We rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Then we rely on the power of God. When are we ever going to learn that it's beyond our ability? We sometimes talk as Christians as though I have the ability and I was born with this ability and it's my ability. Not so. Every ability I have is a God-given ability. And so I need to rely on the source of that ability. Number three. Principle number three, learn to reflect on the provision of the Lord. This is important. We looked at verse 6, but there's a word in the middle of verse 6, smack dab in the middle. It says, everything by prayer and supplication with, what's the next word? Thanksgiving. They have a sound mind, a mind that thinks right, the mind of Christ. We reflect on the provision of the Lord. You know, in the Bible, God was continually telling His people to remember back, reflect back. This ceremony, this ordinance, this law, this tradition, it was to look back at when God met with you. Always remember what God has done. Here in a little bit, we're going to be having the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. What is that? It's to remind us to keep in remembrance the work of Christ. And right here in the middle of this verse, we have this expression of thanksgiving. When you and I are asking God to help us and we're calling on that present power, we need to be very careful to do so with thanksgiving. If you ask God for more without thanking Him for what He has done, you might not get more. Have you ever noticed this principle in the Word of God that God gives as much light as you want, ask for, and use? And when I do not use the amount that He has given to me, I've pretty much reached a spiritual plateau until I use that. The Lord then gives more light in your life. There's no higher expression of faith than thanksgiving. Why? Because it recognizes God for what He has done. It gives praise to the one who is worthy of it all. But worry is the highest expression of unbelief because it does not recognize God. Go back with me in the account of Kadesh Barnea. There you see that principle in vivid living color. Joshua and Caleb, great faith. God has already given it to us. Let's go get it. Then you have the 10 unfaithful spies that came with a worry in mind. They had an expression of unbelief. Didn't recognize the Lord. Now, when you and I realize, we just stop. And we realize what God has done in the past. We'll probably be more prone to invite Him into our future. There are times in your life that you just need to stop. You needed to look back at the Ebenezers that's been reared up in your Christian walk where God showed up and did something. And you say, you know what? If He was good then and He saved me back then and delivered me from that then, He's going to do it here now. I have no doubt. Here I raise my Ebenezer hither by it. That's what you're focusing on here and giving thanks. And I want you to understand this. Doing so pleases the Lord. It worships the Lord for all that He has done. It puts you in the right place, looking to the Heavenly Father. But a thankful heart not only gives praise to the Lord, it's good for you. And it's good for me in that it helps us build faith. God, You did it then, and I know You're going to do it now. It builds faith and expectation of God when you remember what He's done for you in the past. Did you know that the word think and thank are very closely connected? It's only one vowel difference, think and thank. There's one psalm in the Bible that really presents this well, 68:19, and the psalmist wrote, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with blessings." We're worshiping Him. We're remembering Him for what He has done. We're giving Him the rightful praise, thanking Him for what He done. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Now, all of you, most of you have heard it said that the word Selah means stop, meditate, think, reflect. Reflect back on the goodness of God. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Now, you say, what does that mean? When we think on God's goodness, it births thanksgiving. I mean, have you ever entered into the quiet place with the Lord in your quiet time and you just started thanking God for everything that comes to your mind? It sets you in the rightful place to be able to commune with a holy God. Shame on us, Christians, when we come to the Lord and said, Lord, it's me I need. Instead of knocking, coming in a reverent Holy Spirit, worshiping and adoring Him and saying, thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. Your Son has a need. Whole different kind of approach to the throne of God. So Paul is very careful to say, listen, when we go to Him and ask, let's be careful to do it with thanksgiving. God's not demanding thanks and praise in the hard times because He's self-centered. He's demanding it for our good. Why? It renews our mind. You walk into the prayer closet troubled and heavy laden and burdened down. You walk out a renewed person. God met with you. He did something up here and in here that you can't express. It renews you. You know, there's a sad but true principle in life. Usually unthankful people are unhappy people. You ever seen that? Unthankful people are unhappy people. One person said this, rather than being humbly grateful, they're grumbly hateful. Let me say that one more time. Rather than people being humbly grateful, they're grumbly hateful. And we've seen those kinds of individuals. And it's a sad lot of life to be living in that kind of a place setting there. But those who are unthankful are always unhappy folks. They're full of bitterness and fear and anxiety and critical spirits. God wants you to avoid these. Avoid that. And how does He say for us to avoid that? reflect on the goodness of God. You're going through a hard time. Your mind is being pulled one way into another way. You're having a hard time focusing on the Lord. Try this sometime. Just focus on the blessings of God. Focus on this thought. I have forever missed hell and made heaven. That'll give you something to shout about. Principle number four, learn to rest in the peace of the Lord. Again, all five of these aren't going to be firing on a five-cylinder engine. I understand that. But if we can learn to plug into one of them, at least maybe two, it'll help. Learn to rest in the peace of the Lord. Look at verse 7. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The heart is the gateway into the mind. The mind is closely connected to the heart, the gateway to the heart. Verse 7, here's your personal insurance in the whole thing. The peace of God is there to protect you, to help you. Now, when Paul was in prison as he's writing this, chances are he probably had a quaternion or a handful of Roman soldiers around him. Paul would have looked at those soldiers around him and he might have thought, or he might have even said, I have something a lot more powerful than these Roman soldiers guarding me. And the word is found here in this verse. It literally says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. That word keep is a word that refers to a garrison, to guard. Much like those Roman soldiers were guarding the Apostle Paul. Paul said, there's something a lot more powerful here protecting me, giving me peace. And it's the presence of Christ. What is the peace that Paul had? None other than the peace of God, not in the circumstance. It was the peace of God, Christ, who was present with him. I like this statement. Wrote it down. I want you to listen close. God's peace is not the subtraction of problems. It's the addition of power to meet the problem. Don't get it in your mind as a Christian that to be living that straight arrowed life and to be living a victorious life means I'll be living a life free of problems. No such thing. But God gives you the power in addition to the problem to overcome that. You do not keep this peace that Paul had. That peace kept him. I don't keep the peace. The peace keeps me. I know we must live lives that welcome the filling of the Holy Spirit and to have that joy of the Lord. I understand that. But when it comes right down to brass tacks, I'm not holding God's hand. He's holding mine. There's too many times that I've failed Him. There's too many times that I walk so quickly away from Him. I know it's a good shepherd and not the faithful sheep. It's Him. I need to rest in the peace of the Lord. You can't get it from a prescription, a doctor, a friend, a pastor. You've got to get it from God. How do you get it from God, Brother Matt? You've got to spend time in His presence. There's no other way. You just got to spend time in His Word and time in His presence and learn Him. Learn the Lord Jesus. He said, my peace I leave with you, John 14. Do you realize that that's your inheritance? It's my inheritance as a child of God. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. I take that personal. As He's talking to Brother Fred or Brother John or Brother Josh, He left it for me. It's my peace. He left it for me. It's my personal inheritance. In other words, the world did not give me that peace. The world cannot give me that peace. Therefore, the world cannot take it away. It's a peace that God gives me. As a matter of fact, it's a peace that passes all human understanding. It passes the comprehension. I mean, have you ever had somebody come up to you and try to tell you about the time? Let's say it's Pastor Capel. And the ordeal that he's been going through with Miss Pat. And I'll guarantee you that Pastor Capel will say, we sense the presence of Christ, the peace that passes all understanding.
I said, describe that, Pastor Capel. Tell us about it. He'll say, I can't. You've got to experience it. But when you experience it, you'll know it. Because it makes no sense. It has to be God. Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace. There's that word keep again. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Your mind's troubled, tossed to and fro, struggling, keeping it on the right course, away from a critical thought towards somebody. Whatever it is, rest in the peace of the shepherd. Just keep going to him. Last point, we'll be done. Learn to reflect on the purposes of God through it all. Verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I like that phrase, think on these things. You know, I can choose my thoughts just like I can choose my friends. And just like my friends, if they're good friends, they'll tend to me with favor. If they are bad friends, they'll give me poor favor. And so are the thoughts in your mind. Someone asks, how in the world do you keep your mind thinking on the right things? Flip that coin over. How in the world do you keep from thinking wrong things by thinking on good things? So Paul says here in this verse, verse 8, keep your mind focused on Christ. Keep it focused on good things, things that serve to edify and lift up. Now, thankfully, God created us in such a way that we can only think of one thing at a time. Praise the Lord for that. That means that I am either being led of the Spirit or I am following after the flesh. And much of the vernacular in talking about thinking and thoughts, if I'm thinking bad thoughts, I am following after the flesh. If I stop that and turn, then I am being led of the Spirit. And I'm not thinking on those things. I can't think in two ways at one time. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so God will give us the ability there to think on what we ought to and not what we shouldn't be thinking on. Let me close by giving you an illustration on that. Talking about somebody who is in a situation and they're looking for the good things. They're looking for the purpose of God. Lord, why did you allow this to cross my life? Lord, you are sovereign. You're in control. I believe that you have allowed this into my life for a purpose. I'm going to reflect on the purpose for this. That's what I'm talking about, a person who is in a situation in which they're trying to figure out what to gain from it. And so a grandfather took his grandson out to the Grand Canyon. Those of you that have been out to the Grand Canyon, there is one specific place that has a large piece of thick plexiglass where you can walk out on if you have enough guts. Fine line between faith and stupidity. But they're walking out on that, and the grandfather and the grandson. And they're looking at it all. The grandson's down there on that lower two-level bar and a cable, and he's looking across. Grandpa's up there on the top, leaning across, just taking it all in, looking at the grandeur of that Grand Canyon. So as they come back home, the family talks, tell us about what you saw. Johnny, what did you think about the Grand Canyon? Grandpa, tell us about the Grand Canyon. Grandpa said, you know what? He said, I looked, I took it all in. He said, I saw the handiwork of God. He said, I saw the results of the judgment of God, believing that it was formed by the flood waters as they receded off the earth. He said, I saw all of these truths in front of me. It was overwhelming. They looked at the grandson and said, what did you see, Johnny? Johnny said, I spit for a whole mile. There's the difference. The one did not have the ability, the wherewithal, to look at the situation and to grasp the eternality of it. The hand of God that was instructing and forming it. The other one had the ability to look and to see the fingerprints of God all around him. Now, when you and I are in a situation that we can't see the front from the end, and it's a troublesome time that we're in, it would be good to just step back and think on those things that are lovely and of good report. I don't understand why I'm here, but Lord, I'm going to reflect on you because you do. You do. And so Paul says, think on those things that are lovely. And when we open up the book of Philippians, we don't smell the old, stale, dingy, moldy dungeon. When you open up the book of Philippians, you smell heaven. Why? Because of his mindset. His mindset. Look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The God of peace shall be with you too. I added that word too in there. But can't you hear him saying that right from the prison? I know you're going through a hard time, sis. But you hang on there. Dwell on what I'm learning in here, these five things. Peace of God will be yours too. That's literally what he's saying. And then he comes up so boldly and says in closing, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now that's a mindset. How in the world did he get to that right frame of mind facing the trial that he was facing? Through going back to this chapter and seeing these principles. Let me read them to you one more time. Rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Rely on the power of God. Reflect on the provision of the Lord. Rest in the peace of the Lord. And learn to reflect on the purposes of the Lord. I'm guaranteeing you, Christian, that's something you can put in your pocket and pull out tomorrow and use in your Christian walk. Can these principles be trusted? Well, they came through the pen of a man who knew. But more importantly than that, they came from the heart of God who loves you very much. Walking with you through everything. Let's pray. Father, may our minds, Lord, be renewed at this very moment. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Sweet Spirit of God, you are there to point and direct. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this written word, and God, for the author of it that dwells within us. How we can have our minds renewed, reset, any moment that we just choose to stop and reflect. God, you're so good to us. Just want to thank you for the plan of salvation. Thank you for every promise, every hope. God, thank you for your presence in this life. I pray for those that have been here with us tonight. Thank you for each soul. Those that are here and away listening in. God, I pray that there should there be a mind that is troubled. One that is not sound. One that is torn, pulled. I pray that the Spirit of God, you would remind them of these principles and give great victory. Walk with us throughout the remainder of the week, we pray. Go with us now into the remaining part of the service. I pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name.